Good morning. Let's all stand, take your songbooks, turn to page number 279. 279. Brother Daniel, will you open us up in prayer, please? Turn to page number 75. Page 75.
Power, power, wonder-working power in the precious
Thank you. You may be seated. Well, welcome to each and every one who's here this morning. I think we should have handed out alarm clocks last week for Christmas gifts. We are missing quite a few this Sunday morning. And when the preacher gets up here, he'll notice that it's this side is here. Because he's always praising the singing side. In your bulletins this morning, it was mentioned last week, reading through the Bible schedule. In the bulletins this week, there is a copy of that that you can take out and keep with you. So please, if you haven't been or would like to start reading through the Bible in a year, there's many schedules out there, but this is a nice, convenient one that makes it easy to follow along. You will find it takes roughly right about 15 minutes if you're reading them out loud. Some days it'll be a bit longer. It depends on how you are with names. On some of them, it may take you a lot longer. But if you just don't read it out loud, you just, it goes a whole lot faster. So anyway, schedule, read through the Bible in a year. Also coming up, January 6th, church business meeting directly after the service. On January 10th, we will have our missionaries, Ben and Marie Muldoon, with us. And if that name seems strange, that's because Marie was our missionary, Marie Wilson, to Honduras, but she has gotten married, and her husband will be here. Her mission field was in Honduras. They are now preparing to go to Romania, and their mission is to the deaf. They are both deaf missionaries, or missionaries to the deaf. Then coming up on January 17th, we have a Joseph Kortva. One we haven't heard. He is also a missionary to the deaf in Peru, and he'll be with us in the evening service. Then on January 31st, Youth Sunday. Remember, our ministry's night has been canceled for a while until things get straightened out with the state. Also, Pastor, you did say Thursday evening at 7. Okay, this week our Wednesday evening service will be canceled. Instead of a Wednesday night service, we will be having a Thursday night watch night service starting at 7. So we've just moved our midweek service to the next day, and be with us here as we celebrate the end of 2020 and look forward to 2021 and the Lord's return. That's all I've got. Joanne, you got anything? Okay, there's bread at the pantry if you would like some. Anyone else have any announcements? Okay. Little kids gonna sing? Bring them on up. Okay, did anyone else come to sing a special this morning? Okay. Pastor, you going to sing this morning? Okay. Pastor's group.
I have watch night service on Thursday. And some say, well, we're glad that 2020 is about out of here. But y'all remember that movie Mad Max took place in 2021. Some of you kids probably hadn't seen that old movie. But I'm thankful for all that he's done. I'm thankful that I was able to celebrate with my wife and my family this week. It's Christmas. We had a trying time here. But, you know, God's faithful. He's good. The song is called I've Been Through Enough to Know That He'll Be Enough for Me. John lost his sister this week, Brother John Rodriguez. And John, I hope you find some help and strength in this. I sing a song a lot when things get difficult. When I first started walking with the Lord, I did not fully trust Him. But how He wanted me to know that I could. So through the valley He led me, afraid as I could be, until I felt His loving arms embracing me. And I've been through enough to know You'll be enough for me. He's come through so many times that sets my mind at ease. And I'll stake my very life that God's gonna take care of me. Because I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. How could I ever doubt a God whose hands made the universe? How could I ever question His ability? There is no place that I can go that He does not already know. All of the things that trouble me and just what I need. But I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. He's come through so many times, He sets my mind at ease. Oh, and I'll stake my very life that God's gonna take care of me. Because I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. Oh, and I'll stake my very life that God's gonna take care of me. because I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. No matter how much we go through and what we face, we can find it. He's always sufficient. He always knows just what we need and when we need it. And I'm so thankful for that. And you know, sometimes we say, wow, why did God allow that to happen? Because He knew better than we did what it was that we needed. Amen. And I'm thankful He's faithful. I found a Bible in my office on my desk. It's a giant print. Don't have a name in it. It's got a bookmark in it. It's a bookmark. Anybody claim it and know whose it is? I'm going to lay it here on the front table. So if you know anybody that's missing the Bible or misplaced it, sometimes people come in to talk to you and they lay something down and they leave and they forget it. And I just found it and want to get it back into the hands of somebody that's going to use it. It's not doing anybody any good sitting on my desk. Amen. Turn in your Bibles this morning with us into Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah chapter number 9. Some of you that are familiar with Isaiah chapter number 9 say, I thought Christmas was over. Is it? Amen. Is it? That's the problem. Sometimes we get excited about Christmas for a few minutes and then we forget what Christmas was all about and who it was all about. Good to see y'all. Amen. We're thankful this morning for each one that's come this way and come out Thursday night as we let one year go and see another year in and just worship together. We're not going to be out real late. We're not going to be out when all the crazies are on the road. We'll be done and back home by then. But I think it's a good time just to reflect on all God's blessings to us throughout the year and just to pray expectantly for His blessings in the new year. Amen. And we're just thankful that we have the privilege to be able to do that. If you found Isaiah chapter 9 and you're able to, we invite you to stand as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. I'm only going to read one verse this morning, verse number 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and a government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for its hope and its peace. We thank you for God, the one that it tells us about. And as we look this morning to your word for a few moments, Father, just help us, God, to see what it is that we need to see and to understand what we need to understand, that we might leave this place this morning, Father, just focused on you and your desire for our lives and what's pleasing unto you. We thank you, God, this morning for each one that's come this way, for those that are joining us online and for the great number that's in the parking lot joining us this morning, Father, on radio. We just thank you for each one of them. And God, just ask you to speak to each heart and each life the things that are necessary, Father, for us to grasp and understand, to see and to go forward, realizing and knowing what is your perfect will for our lives, what's your perfect will in this world. And Father, we know it's your will that not any should perish, that none should perish, not one soul should go to hell. And Father, we hope this morning that someone might realize that and someone might surrender their heart and life unto you that your will might be accomplished in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. You may be seated. I know a lot of folks travel during the holiday. I know some are traveling and are away. So we ask you to pray for those that are traveling. And we ask you to pray especially for the Hoovers. Got a message from them the other day. They've been traveling. We've been praying for them. And we knew when they left out right around Thanksgiving, they said they would be on the road, had several churches that they were going to be in, and would be back sometime after the new year. Where they got their son's church in Michigan, and they both got the COVID real bad. He's got it really bad. So pray for them as they are away. Pray for them as they're traveling, for traveling mercies. But pray that God would strengthen them in body and help them as they are dealing with this as they're traveling. And then pray for those that are traveling because of the holidays. It's a busy time, and it seems like the busier it gets, the crazier people get sometimes, and it's hard to travel. So it's good to see John and his family with us, and I see a grin on Mary's face online. You just tell that was a special one, amen, because the grandbabies were there. You know, them grandbabies do that, don't they? Amen. But just pray for them as they travel. It's good to see them here this morning. But just remember, just because Christmas Day has passed, Jesus hasn't ceased being Jesus. And sometimes we go through all the motions. We get wrapped up in a day, and we get wrapped up in things, and we forget about who it is that we're celebrating. You know, there's a song, and all, if Deb would have been here and been able to, we would have sung it. We sing it every now and then. What child is this? It's a familiar old song. And I want to preach to you this morning on what child is this? We just celebrated the birth of Jesus. Now, we know December 25th isn't the actual date that Jesus was born on. It was more likely in the fall or spring sometime, depending on which avenue you want to run down and whose theories you want to follow. But it wasn't this day. We know this day was just chosen because it was a day that other things were celebrated, and the Christians wanted to get in on it too. So they just said, well, we'll celebrate the birth of Christ on this day as well. And we realized that. But the thing of it is, it isn't about the day. It's about the person. Amen. And who it was that was born. Who it was that came unto us. And chapter 6 of Isaiah, a prophecy that prophesied his birth and told about who he was and what he was going to do and what he would be able to accomplish is right there in that one verse that we read this morning. And this prophecy says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's who he is. And we want to preach to you this morning, what child is this? And I want you to understand, and I want you to grasp Jesus beyond December 25th. Grasp Jesus beyond the holidays and all the trimmings and all the junk that they get put up and everything else. Mine got all took down yesterday. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the best Christmas gift I get. My daughter come and took the tree down. I said, hallelujah. Amen. I hate it when that junk goes up. I hate having to take it down. You say, well, why do you hate it? Because it disrupts the whole house. Everything in the house gets turned upside down. You can't move. You can't go out bumping into something everywhere you go. Something, I mean, it's just everywhere. Amen. And it's a waste of time. Because you're only putting it up to take it back down. Yeah. Time's precious. The Bible says redeeming the time. Amen. For the days are evil. Amen. But it all goes away. But Christmas is more than all that mess. It's more than everything else. It's about Jesus. It's about the child that was born. And we know that Jesus was born and placed in the manger there in Bethlehem of Judea. Do you know why the Bible says a child is born and a son is given? There's two different phrases. There's two different thoughts. There's two different outlooks on the both of them. A child that is born speaks of his humanity, speaks of Jesus coming into flesh, speaks of him becoming a human being. And you know, that's necessary. necessary part of the redemptive work that he came to do because he had to become human and he had to feel and to know and to experience every thing that we felt and everything that we knew. He knew hunger. He knew thirst. He knew pain. He knew heartbreak. He knew what it was to be afflicted in the flesh. He knew what it was to be at the grave of someone that he loved and that he knew. The Bible says his spirit groaned within him and Jesus wept. Why was that? Because he was 100% human. Amen. He was born in flesh and he came in the flesh. And why was that necessary? Because it was necessary for a man to take on sin, for a man to defeat sin. Look at what the Bible says in Romans chapter number 5, verses 14 to 21. The Bible says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that is to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by that one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, one were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteousness. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, as the offense of one, back in verse number 18, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Each one of us, by the offense of one man, became sinners. Each one of us fell under the condemnation of that sin, and the condemnation of that sin is death, eternal death, in a place of suffering, a place of torment, for all sin and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But it goes on to say, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift cometh upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience one many were made sinners, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteousness. Death came through sin, and sin came by man, and death would be defeated by one, and death would be put to shame by one, death would be put to rest by one that came, and that one was a man, and that man's name was Jesus, who was born and placed in that manger in Bethlehem. He came not to be just a pretty little baby in a manger, but he came to deliver us from the curse of sin. Amen. Man, y'all had a hard holiday, haven't you? As quiet as I've heard you in a long time. Amen. For unto us a child is born. Jesus in his humanity. Jesus in his human form. Jesus taking on the likeness of man, that he might, through the righteousness of one who was able to overcome and to defeat sin, make a way of deliverance, make a way of salvation for each one. He was tempted in the flesh. Amen? Do you know that? He faced everything and experienced everything that we do. All the temptations that face us, he faced them. Does everybody here always overcome all your temptations? I know I can tell you I don't. Amen. I don't. But praise God, there was one that did. There was one that defeated the temptation of the flesh. There was one that overcome and defeated the temptation of his ego. There's one that overcome and defeated the temptation that was placed upon him in every aspect of his human being. And he defeated death. And he made a way and paved a way unto righteousness and of righteousness through his righteous acts that we might be justified because of what he did in the flesh. But then the Bible says here in Isaiah chapter 6, unto us a son is given. He was more than just a little baby born of flesh. He was God's son, God's gift to man. The greatest gift that we can celebrate at Christmas time is the gift that God has given us, his unspeakable gift. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We didn't deserve him, and we couldn't take him, and we couldn't get him because of what we deserve. We got him because God gave him. Amen. God gave him because of what we needed. Amen. It wasn't because of what we deserved. God knew his son would have to come. God would have to take on the image of man. God would have to come into flesh and dwell among us. God would come into flesh and he would be among us. God would come through the vessel of a virgin's womb that he might be born in the flesh. And he was 100% flesh, but he was holy God. Amen. God could take on the image of flesh, take on the likeness of flesh, that he would suffer for man in the flesh. The Bible tells us in John chapter number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, that even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Though he had a body of flesh, and though he had all the sensations of the flesh, and though he knew all the temptations of the flesh, and though he dwelt in the flesh, he was still God. And God that had took on the likeness of man, God that had came, God that had poured himself out wholly for us, God that had gave himself completely to us. The world didn't realize it. The world didn't know it. The world rejected him. The world refused him. His own people refused him. Everybody refused him, but God was still willing to come for those who would accept him and accept his free gift, accept his work on Calvary, that he might deliver us from the curse of sin. And the Bible tells us, and the Word was made flesh, and he dwelled among us. I know that he lived. He's recorded in history. I know that he lived. It's recorded that the Muslims record him, the Jews record him, the Greeks record him. He's recorded in too many places for it to be a myth. And I know he lived, but he didn't just live a man. He lived as a God, for all of heaven testified to it on his birth. God witnessed it at his baptism as God Father and God Holy Spirit and God Son. We're all there together when he came up out of the waters of baptism, and the Spirit of God descended descended upon him from heaven, and God spoke with an audible voice, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Amen. He was there, and they were there on a Mount of Transfiguration, and God the Father, and God's Spirit, and God's Son all together again here in this world. And on this world, God was manifest in the flesh that he might take away the sting of death. He might take away the curse of sin. And he might give us hope. See, Jesus wasn't born just so we'd have a reason to celebrate and to give each other presents. Somebody got a mandolin. I hope he learns to play it. He better get right on it. Expecting to hear something in a week or so. Amen. It's more than just it was a time for families to get together and have a big dinner. Have family time together. It's more than that. God's gift to mankind was him taking on our humanity that he might take away our sin. He might take away our curse. He might help us and to deliver us. That's why when we read and when we see the things that are said about him in the next few thoughts that are shared. Now many translations say he's a wonderful counselor. My King James Bible says he's wonderful. Amen. He's wonderful. He's worthy of praise. Amen. He's wonderful. It's from a Hebrew word, pili, and it's used most exclusively to describe the things that only God can do. You stop and think about him and think about how he came and think about where he came from, and you realize just how wonderful he is. You realize just how much we miss when we go through Christmas and we forget after Christmas all about him and everything's put away, and we remember all the gifts and all the toys and all the clothes and everything else. We forget just how wonderful he is. Stop and think about it for a minute. He was wonderful in his pre-incarnation. Before the foundations of the world, he was already in God's mind. Before the foundations of the world, before he became flesh, before the foundations of the world, before this world was ever formed, he was God. Amen. He was God in its entirety. He is God completely. He was God holy. He was wonderful in his pre-incarnation. He's wonderful in his birth. God with us. God's a miraculous plan. God's way of coming into this world that he might be with us. He was wonderful in his life and everything that he did, to man and for man and through man. As he healed bodies, as he opened blinded eyes, as he raised the dead, he was wonderful in everything that he did. But the most wonderful thing that he did, the most wonderful thing that he accomplished in this life, was he lived a sinless life, a life without sin, a life that would make him that perfect sacrifice that he was born to be. He was wonderful in his actions, wonderful in his teachings. They say no man ever spoke like this before. He was wonderful in his dying. As he died on the old rugged cross, we know he didn't die for good people. He died for sinner people. For God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. How wonderful it is that one that was a God before the world was formed. One that was God when he came in his birth. One that was God when they nailed him on an old rugged cross. One that could have called the legions of heaven, heaven's angels, to set him free and to turn him loose. The one that had never sinned in his life. The one whom Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man." Yet he went to an old rugged cross and he died for a no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten sinner just like me. How wonderful is that? Amen. He's wonderful in his resurrection. The Bible said He was raised for our justification. He's wonderful in His ascension. He didn't just disappear and dissipate into the atmosphere. Praise God. He ascended back to the throne room of glory, and He's now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. He's wonderful in His future. The Bible says that He's coming to get His church. He's wonderful in His defeat of sin and Satan. He's coming one day and all things are going to be put under His feet. One day He's going to cast the devil into the lake of fire where He will not hinder the universe. He will not hinder all of God's creation any longer. I want you to know something. There's nothing more wonderful in Jesus, but He's wonderful right now. He's wonderful today. He's wonderful in our present. He's wonderful as He joins us in His presence. He said, where two or three are gathered in His name, He would be in there in the midst also. Praise God. I'm glad this morning that He's here with us. I'm glad He's wonderful in His salvation. He'll save the soul that needs to be saved today. I'm wonderful in His forgiveness. He'll forgive that sinner that's in his sin, other sins today. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. He's wonderful. Amen. And He's worthy to be praised. Yeah. Wonderful. Counselor. This counselor that's sought out. This counselor that counsels with the very wisdom of God itself. People say, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm just doubting this, and I can't be sure. Yeah, you can be sure. Amen. In the multitude of counselors, the Bible says in Proverbs of their safety. But there's one counselor that's above them all. Amen. There's one counselor that can give you the answer of assurance. One counselor that can give you the words of peace that no one else can give you. He has the counsel of the greatest wisdom. He's the counselor of the greatest accessibility. He said we can enter boldly into the throne room and seek Him and seek His face. He's the counselor that will guide us, and He'll lead us into all truth. He'll give us assurance of where we're going. He's the counselor with a focus that's solely on you. He gives you His undivided attention. You know, He can deal with all the problems of every individual in the whole world and give you His undivided attention still. Hey, man, aren't you glad of that? He's a counselor that works words of encouragement, of comfort, and chastening. Aren't you glad? I tell you, when Deb was going through this mess up in the hospital, it was God's word that we kept going back to. It was God's promises that we kept leaning on. It was God's promises that sustained us. When God had her there in the hospital, she said it was God's word that she kept repeating. The doctors and the nurses came in and told her. She just told them repeatedly that she was trusting God. Amen. And God was going to take care of her. And they came in. Doctors looked at her and said, you know, God's got to have His hand on you. Amen. I tell you what, that's the kind of testimony that I would like to have. Amen. That God has to have His hand on you. These people of science, and they keep telling us, well, we're trusting the science. We're trusting the science. Amen. I'm glad I can trust the science right in the center of God's hands. Amen. And know He's got His hand right on me. When the doctors and the nurses just repeatedly come in, she said, I mean, it was almost entirely everyone that walked in, they said, God's got His hand on you. Amen. Aren't you glad that we got a counselor who can give us His undivided attention, a counselor who can make us the center of His focus, a counselor who's there to comfort us when we need comfort. And John, I tell you, I know what it's like to lose your siblings and your parents. I know what it's like to lose a grandbaby. I know what it's like to go through that hurt. But I'm thankful that we got a God that's a God of all comfort. Amen. That comforts us in all our tribulation. Amen. He'll bring you through it. He'll take you through it. And He'll speak the words that you need to hear to bring you through it when you're facing troubling times. He's a counselor with the divine truth that only his mind can conceive, and only his mouth can utter. His divine counsel is his modus in everything that he does. That's what makes him do what he does. Amen. It's because he's a divine counselor. Amen. He's a counselor with your greatest interest to bring you to the greatest conclusion with the greatest result. Oh, what a counselor is Jesus. Amen. That baby that was born that everybody keeps focusing on just being a baby. He had the greatest wealth, the greatest well of knowledge, the greatest well of hope, the greatest well of peace within himself when he was born there than the world has ever known. But people soon forget that. People soon look beyond that, and they don't account to that. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Holy Divine. Amen. He took on the form of man, but he was still Holy Divine. He felt the pains. He knew our uncertainties. He knew what it was to be tired. The Bible tells us there was times that Jesus had to get away to himself. Amen. Had to get away and just get to himself. You ever get to that place you just need to get away from everybody? Get off to yourself. Amen. We need that. Jesus did that. We need that. Amen. He showed us that God realized our frailty. God realized our weaknesses. And he realized the things that we go through. But he didn't cease to be God. Amen. He could speak to the winds and the waves and say, peace be still, and the storms would cease. He could speak life unto the death. I remember the story in the Bible as he came by the city of Nain, and they were on their way out of the city, and they were bearing the body of the young man, the widow's son who died. And Jesus told him to hold on here. And Jesus spoke the words of life unto that young man. And he rose again. I remember when he went to visit Jairus' house. And Jairus said, my daughter, she's at the point of death. And when they got there, he told them, send everybody out of the house. She's not dead. She just sleeps. The Bible said they laughed him to scorn. And he went in and he spoke those words of life to her, and she rose up off of the deathbed. Oh, he was holy God, friend. He was holy a man in his flesh and in his humanity, but he was still the mighty God. He was still the one that had the power over death. When he came to the grave where Lazarus was laid, and I tell you what, I've heard it said, and I believe it so, the reason he spoke specifically Lazarus' name, if he'd have said, come forth, every corpse in the cemetery, I would have had to raise up and come out of the grave. Amen. He had to be specific in who he was talking to because he was the mighty God, and he claimed all power over all the universe and over all things. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. Now, Lazarus didn't come running out of the grave. Lazarus was wrapped up, the Bible says, in grave clothes, and they had to loose him. Amen. And let him go when he got out. How do you reckon he got out of there? The mighty God just commanded it, and it was so. He floated out there, levitated out there. I don't know how he got there, but he got there. It might have just been miraculous from one point to the next. Amen. But when the mighty God speaks, amen, nature and all of his creation has to bear in mind who it is that's calling unto him. He's the mighty God, immortal, impossible for him to make mistakes. He's omnipotent. Nothing impossible for him to do what needs to be done. Stop and think about that. He formed the world. He made man. He spoke unto man unto the world, made world the world. He took the dust of the earth and formed man in his own likeness, and he breathed into him the breath of life. And man became man. Amen. Man became a living soul. Man became a being. The stars shine. The sun's hung. The sea knows its limitations and its boundaries. He set it all in place. Why? Because He's the mighty God. He's omnipotent. There's nothing impossible for Him. And He's omniscient. Our friend, let me tell you something. He knows. You ever hear somebody talk about a know-it-all? God's a know-it-all. Amen. He knows everything. Not because He thinks He does, but because He is. Amen. And because He is who He is. That little baby that was born in Bethlehem, that little baby that we soon forget about in just a couple of days, and we go on about other things. We done forgot about the baby, and we're already getting ready for New Year's. The TVs already forgot about the baby of Bethlehem, and now they're already getting ready for the New Year's Eve celebration. I tell you what, we're going to come and we're going to celebrate the baby, amen, on New Year's Eve, amen. We're going to come and celebrate the child that was born, the son that was given on New Year's Eve. Why? Because He's omnipotent, because He's omniscient, and He knows all things. He knows our hearts. He knows our desires. He knows our reasons for all things. He knows those that are lost. He knows those that are His. He knows those that think He's just a joke and a mockery. He knows those who've trusted Him and look to Him and revere Him and reverence Him. He knows all things. Folks, He knows you this morning. He knows you this morning. He knows you better than you know you. He's known you longer than you've known you. Amen. He told the prophet Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the mother's womb, I knew you. Amen. Before you even had a consciousness, before you even had an awareness, He already knew you. And He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. And He's omnipresent. There's nowhere you can go. There's not a place you can go that you can't find Him. Not a place you can go that you can't call on Him and Him hear you. Why? He's the mighty God. Amen. There's no limitations to Him yet. You can't put Him in a box. You can't put Him in a building. You can't put Him here. You can't put Him there. He's everywhere. Amen. The psalmist said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. There's no place you can go where you can get to where Jesus is. Amen. No place you can, no situation you can find yourself into where He can't be there with you. Amen. The Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace. Who showed up with them? Jesus. Amen. That little baby that hadn't yet been born. That little baby that was God, the mighty God. Amen. The wonderful counselor. The mighty God showed up and visited with them there in the midst of their storm, in the midst of their trial, in the midst of, just think about that for a moment or two, that they were thrown into a fiery furnace that had been heated 7 times hotter than it had ever been. It was heated so hot that the men that throwed them into the furnace, that literally throwed them into, were destroyed by the heat that came out of the furnace. And yet when old Nebuchadnezzar looked down in that furnace, he said, didn't we throw 3 men in there? I see 4 walking around, and 1 is like the Son of God. Amen. Stop and think about that. There's not a situation that you can deal with in life where mighty God can't be there with you. There's not a situation that you face in life that the mighty God can't have His hand upon, can't get you through. There's not a problem that you're struggling with in life. There's not a sin that you're dealing with. There's not anything that you say, well, nobody knows this. And so many people that they take their lives, they lock themselves away. They live in obscurity. They just feel that nobody cares, nobody knows, and nobody understands. I know one that does. His name is Jesus. Amen. He knows everything that you're doing. He knows what no one else does. Why? Because he knows all things. And he knows you. And he knows what you need. He knew you needed a Savior. And that's why he came into the world. That he could die for us. This mighty God took on the likeness of lowly man. Wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. We can have assurance, amen, in Jesus. We can have assurance. Everything seems so uncertain about Jesus' birth. Amen. She was found with child, and Joseph was ready to put her away privately. Man, that wasn't what they planned. I said, man, this thing just went off the rails here. It's uncertain. But God said, no, I'm in control. Amen. I'm in control. This is my plan. Caesar Augustus put out a decree. And now she's ready to deliver a child, and they've got to travel to Bethlehem. And man, seems just such an unseemly time and just an unnecessary time for this to happen. That's all right. That's all right. God's in control. God knew what was going on. You can rest assured. They got there and they couldn't even find a place to stay. He had to be born in a stable, laid in a manger. That's all right. That was God's plan. It was a picture that we needed to see. It was an image that God needed for us to grasp. Nothing was lost on God. You can depend on him. This wasn't his first rodeo. This wasn't Jesus' first time to earth. Amen. It was the first time he came as a baby. It was the first time he came in the flesh. He's the everlasting Father, the enduring Father, the one that we can rest assured in. Why? Because it's his character. Unchanging. God said, I'm God, I change not. God doesn't change to suit us. We change to suit God. Amen. Amen. I change not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah. Amen. He's not going to be different today than he was yesterday. He's not going to save different today than he did yesterday. He's not going to save this one from the sin and not save that one from the sin. Why? Because he's the same. The same God. The enduring God. The everlasting God. The unchanging God. Nobody cares for us like he does. Nobody can give us what he can give us. He's the everlasting Father. You can't depend on a whole lot of things in this world, but you can depend on God. You can't put stock in a whole lot of people, but you can put stock in that baby that was born in Bethlehem. His name was Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. He came and gave himself for us. You can depend on him. He'll never let you down. He'll never fail you. He's the everlasting Father. And the Prince of Peace. What this world seeks and what this world desires and what this world wants. Is peace. The word peace comes from the Hebrew word shalom. We think of peace and we think of only as a cessation of hostilities in the world. Governments not at war. But peace means prosperity and tranquility. Peace means what God wants us to have and what God wants us to know. The Prince of Peace. The one who alone can give us what we need. Jesus said in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled." That divine peace, that heavenly peace, the peace that things can't give you, the peace that people can't give you, the peace that nothing apart from God can give you, that's the peace that Jesus is. That's the peace that he imparts. He made it clear as he was getting ready to go to Calvary, as he's getting ready to leave, that the peace that he was going to give us was a divine peace. The peace that we find when we find Jesus as our Savior is a divine peace. Amen. Why? Because it alone can take away the sting of death and the weight of sin. It alone can help us to reconcile ourselves and what we need. The peace that this world seeks can only be found in him. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:14, says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one." He is our peace. He is our peace. There is no other peace. Paul said to the Philippian church that they could, he would hope that they could know that peace that passes understanding. Where does that peace come from? Jesus. Why? He's the Prince of Peace. Where's this world going to find peace? In Jesus. When's this world going to find peace? When Jesus is in control. And until then, there'll be chaos. Until then, there'll be no peace. What child is this? He's the child. This baby that was born in Bethlehem, this baby whose birthday we celebrated, is all that humanity, all that mankind needs. And we need not just celebrate him on one day. We need to celebrate him every day. We need not just make him the focus of our lives on one day. We need to make him the focus of our lives every day. First and foremost, because he chose to become a man. He chose to become that gift. He chose to become everything that we would ever need. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He chose to be all that for us. But we have a choice of whether we accept him or reject him. Sister Mary and Brother Jim, let's get a song. We're going to stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. And I wonder this morning if the choices in your life have been made towards him. If the choices in your life have been to make him first and foremost, the choices of your life have relegated him to the one day. Or is he Jesus every day unto you? Maybe while you're here this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed, there's no one looking around. I wonder if you're here this morning. And perhaps you've never invited Jesus into your heart. There's not a time nor a place that you acknowledged your need and accepted God's gift, his gift of himself, his gift of his peace, his counsel, his gift of being all that you need, his gift of being your Savior. And this morning you slip your hand and say, "Pastor, pray for me. I've never accepted Christ as my Savior." I see that hand. "I've never invited Jesus into my heart. Pray for me." Is there another this morning? Is there another this morning? No one's looking around, just me, you, and the Lord. I just want to pray for you. Christian, maybe you're here. And you know you've not made him the Lord of your life and every day. You've not made him your Jesus every day. And you step your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me, Pastor. I'm not where I need to be. I'm not let him have rule and reign in my life. There's things in my life that are hindering him having his rightful place. I see that hand. Another this morning. He don't have the place he deserves because I've not allowed him to have it in my life. We're going to sing this morning. As we sing, we come if God spoke to your heart.
Page number 181, 181. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. Good to see some of you. Haven't seen in a while. And those that are traveling, we just pray that God give you traveling mercies as you have to travel back home, we know. But it's been good to visit with you for a while. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock. Be with us for our evening service. And Thursday night, don't forget our Wednesday night service is moved to Thursday night, our midweek service. So come back Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Be with us for our midweek service as we pray about thanking God for what he's done for us in this year. Looking forward to what he's going to do in the new year. Amen.